Welcome to Southpaws, episode 555.
Felching Haggis.
Sure, Fuzz, that's a fantastic title.
There we go.
We're all here in person for the first time in a while, and actually recording. Now, we have hung out and smoked hookah on the patio and had Bo as an audience, but not exactly podcasted.
Yeah.
Last episode we did, Fuzz and I were just hanging out at his place and talked about, I went to Scarborough Fair, briefly.
Did we, though? Because we didn't record after you went to Scarborough Fair.
We didn't? I thought we did.
No, because you were, because I was just right. You're not walking around in heat for 5 hours and then recording. There's no
See,
way.
See, I'm gaslighting
that's exactly
myself.
What happened. Yeah. We recorded before that, though. I think right. We recorded on Saturday and you went to Scarborough on Sunday.
Right. Fuck, man. What is time? Like, everything kind of blurs together. Yeah. In this weird fugue state, and somehow we all made it through the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, we're here now.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Funny enough, I'm going to be going to Scarby on Sunday.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Well, this Sunday, well, this weekend entirely is when Jack the Whipper is going to be there.
Okay.
So we are going down specifically to try and catch a couple of his shows.
That's fun. I went down with Tyrion, Ajax, and Juno. Last weekend to Scarborough Fair. We spent about 5-6 hours there. And it was a lot of fun just walking through, seeing the people in the costumes. It's actually, like, they've really continued to keep the grounds in good shape. There's no fucking signal if you have AT&T, so good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to join the meeting that I missed, and I tried to send the message, hey, I don't think there's good signal out here, and it didn't send until I got back to the car.
Yeah, it's a dead zone.
And, like, there's all these Pokestops there for all these shops and stuff, and my phone just had no access to nothing.
Like,
I don't think I could have got a text message out. It was disappointing. But, I mean, I wouldn't have been on my phone anyway, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Juno got some stuff, Ajax got some stuff, Tyrion got some stuff. I ate some fair food. There was one thing that caught my eye. And I looked at it, and it didn't have a price tag. And I know what the answer is. What's the price if it doesn't have a price tag? And it's going to be more than I want to pay. It was this really cool, like, blue-stained, kind of twisted walking staff with a nice blue leather wrap around the top.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
And I was like, oh, this is cool as hell. And it didn't have a price tag, so I knew better than to ask for a stick.
It fell off or something.
Well, but, yeah. But it's Scarborough Fair. It's a Renaissance festival, so everything is quite expensive. There's a sword shop that's on, like, the north side of things, the right as you enter, has a sign, all prices come pre-haggled for your convenience.
I mean,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, usually we do, well, I will drag them to any glass-blowing show that we happen to be vaguely in the area for, because I am addicted to that. We want to see the bird show.
It's so fascinating to watch. It's like they have a blob, and they turn it into a thing. It's amazing.
It's very hot and lava, and it will kill you and burn you hard, you know. So I've always wanted to try it, never got a chance, but I like to spectate it almost as much. We got a couple of friends that have, like, shops there, and we usually swing by to see if they're there that weekend.
Cool.
And then see, like, the bird show, because we like seeing them do the falconry and all that fun shit. And then a lot of just like, ooh, what do they have? Ooh, the shop. And
yeah, it's a lot of walking around and seeing what's there.
And seeing what shows you happen to be by when they're going to, you know. I remember they used to have, like, the Mud Show, which was always hilarious.
What was that?
It was a guy, one or two guys doing comedy with a giant mud pit. They were covered nose, toes, everything over, and there was usually, it was very Gallagher.
Ah.
Like, there was flying mud involved.
So, if you're in the first two rows, you're in the splash zone.
You know what you're signing up for. There is, like, mud all over the ground. There's some smeared on the seats. There's no missing that you are in the splash zones if you're here. So, if you sit here, if you don't look down and go, you know, there's a lot of mess around here, you should probably reconsider your ability to observe basic facts about life.
If you're wearing garb, maybe don't sit here.
Yeah. Or put down a cloth.
Some of the dresses out there, they're so pretty and frou-frou, and they probably are a bitch and a half to clean.
How many fursuiters did you see?
I actually didn't see any.
Really?
I saw a couple people in, like, cat ear headbands.
Eh, that doesn't count.
But that doesn't count. There was lots of people dressed up as various tieflings.
Yeah.
So they had, like, the body paint and the horns. Mm-hmm. Lots of people doing D&D. Well, there was somebody as a purple dragonborn. So they had a purple dragon head going on. I'm like, that's about the closest I saw to being a furry out there. Aside from us.
I usually see one or two full fursuits.
Yeah.
Kicking around.
There was the requisite Star Trek guy. He was in a TNG command uniform, but it was all fucked up.
Oh.
So he crash landed.
Yeah, he crash landed on the Renaissance Fair planet.
What I want to see is, like, someone take, like, the uniforms, and then they throw some clothing over it, so they're very badly, like, badly wrapped Vulcan ears, where they are very blatantly not supposed to be here.
Wearing and a beanie like Spock always did on...
Yeah, wearing a beanie, and maybe, like, one ear popped out or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see them do the shitty cosplay that the Trek people tried to do. Like, you've got their uniforms, and their clothes thrown on shot side, and like they're sneakily trying to scam. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. it was a good time. And one thing that I saw there, and I thought it was fascinating, there was all these people that seemed to have independently dressed up as with mushroom hats. Like, they had these big poofy hats, but they were red or yellow or blue with white spots like an Amanita mushroom cap. And there was like
one... Are you sure you're just not gotten so into mushrooms lately that you're seeing them everywhere?
No, this was just a thing where people were independently dressing up with this one particular motif. Hmm. And there was like one kid who had done an ink cap. So theirs was... They were participating in the mushroom hat thing, but theirs was different. And I was like, that's clever. I just noticed it and was like, I don't know what this is.
Ah, so this weekend is Celtic and Ale weekend.
Ah, yes.
I don't know what last weekend was.
Last weekend was the Crafters weekend, where if you brought $350 paper receipts to the like table at the entrance, you got two free tickets.
Oh, nice.
So if you spent $350, you got functionally $80 back.
I mean, that's not bad.
We did not reach that. And you might come back
another weekend and spend more.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't quite meet that. We only hit about half, actually. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I know Tyrion was heavily resisting buying anything that he would never wear or use for another 20 years.
I had not gone to a Renaissance festival for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Probably longer.
Yeah.
Because prior to, like, other things happening... I would go to TRF, but that was always, like, right around when I was doing my PonyCon, so I couldn't go during that period of time. So, yeah, I think it's probably been a decade since I was last at Texas Renaissance Festival down in Houston.
Yeah, I haven't been to TRF in way too long.
And this is their 50th year.
Oh!
Yeah, so this is their anniversary year, and I really want to make a trip to go down there and do it. Mm. And Dalek has mentioned that he is interested, and Tyrion is like, well, you could drag me down there, so... Yeah. Maybe we'll make it into a trip. Who knows? That's one of those, though, you have to go for multiple days because it's just so big.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've done it... I've done half in a day before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when Tester and I last went, we split it across 2 days.
Mm.
And we camped, and it was cold as shit. That was, like, the worst camping experience I had. Because, like, it was, like, kind of cold, kind of moist.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have good coverage on the ground, so it was just
ugh. Right.
Well,
freeze my balls off.
From what I've heard, they've changed the camping situation down there radically.
Yeah,
there's a lot more RVs that run a lot more generators all night long. And, you know, they used to have like that one snack shack that kind of up by the entrance.
Uh huh.
Well, that's now like a whole bunch of places to eat that are lit up all night long. They put in a stage that blares and kind of covers the whole place with noise.
Oh.
So kind of the central bonfire, that kind of aesthetic is apparently gone per what I heard.
Oh, well.
So.
That's a shame because you could see tits.
Yeah, you could see a lot of tits.
Very important aspect of the Renaissance Fair life is dancing around a bonfire and chicks get their tits out.
Mm.
And so is like bartering for goods. Like,
yep.
I've got this, trade you for that.
Hey, I've got some Malort. Don't enjoy.
I tried that last weekend. Holy sh! No, that was... Yeah, was it last weekend? Weekend before. Caddy, when they came up from Houston, they brought Malort with them.
Yeah.
I tried to taste. It is every much as bad as the rumor has it.
What is it exactly?
an insult to life, but it's a liquor.
A wormwood liquor. So
wormwood.
As absinthe is wormwood in it.
Right.
It's another type of liquor. I don't know if it is an absinthe, but it's its own thing.
It tastes like something you should not be drinking. Like, it tastes somewhere between medical and cleaning fluid. And you take a sip in it, and the split couple first seconds, it's like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then the aftertaste sets in, and you want to scrape and shave your tongue. But it's there, and it's set up shop. Like, prep a strong chaser, because fucking disgusting.
I tried a shot of Malort at the For Planet Party 2020 at Fiesta, and I remember describing it
like... That wasn't Rajada that did that, was it?
It was probably Rajada that brought it, but I remember describing it as licking a highway tire that had run over roadkill.
It's awful.
And... But I took a shot just because I'd never tried it, and I can say, I've tried this, now
you,
I need to...
Did you do a full shot?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I wet my lips, and that was enough.
I knocked it back, and I regretted it. And I drank a full can of soda after that, and was like, well, that was a mistake.
Just pounding a fucking Dr. Pepper to get
you've
rid of
the
taste.
No, you've
got to. Belching
you,
myself in half.
I think, I went over to the sink, I spit out what I could, I rinsed my mouth, that still didn't finish getting out. And then I went and I forgot, I tried drinking a couple different things.
You took a shot of Scope.
That was going to be the next step, is go get the Listerine, if nothing else, because goddamn.
So we do actually have some topics this week, and actually, this is kind of interesting because we haven't actually discussed this really, but... The first topic we're going to hit tonight is Las Vegas FurCon being 21 plus only this year, and then deciding they're going to stay 21 plus. What do you guys think?
I think there's room for it in the fandom.
Totally.
We've got all ages. Why having a one that's 21 up? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And especially, as some people pointed out, and I know not counting locals, but it especially makes sense in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is about
drinking
and gambling and sex, and you have to be of age, you know. Also, like, it saves them a lot liability wise by not having any kids around worrying about, like, yeah, you do have to worry about, like, sexual assault stuff and everything like that, but, like, you lower the risk without, like, kid. Just if someone's kid is out of state and they get injured, then you've got, like, parents breathing down your neck and shit like that.
Well, the way I see it is that, like you said, Fuzz, you have to be 21 plus to basically enjoy Vegas.
Yeah.
Because they want people that can gamble, drink, and smoke. And you got to be 21 to smoke now. And not having kids around also means that venues are going to be more friendly to them. Like, in my experience...
Well, that's what their statement was, is that venues cater to the 21 up crowd.
Yeah. And...
Yeah.
If you're in Vegas and you're a kid, well, Vegas is, like, the worst place to grow up as a kid. And if you want to go to FurCon, there's, like, six within driving distance. There's that one in Utah, there's FC, there's Golden State FurCon, there's the ones in Arizona, there's Denver. You are not lacking in opportunities to go to a convention if you're stuck in Vegas. So, it might not be the local one, but that's fucking life, buddy. You're in Vegas.
Prefacing this with... TFF will never go limited age unless the state of Texas makes it so, like they did in Florida. The with
megaplex situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So unless, like, I don't foresee TFF ever doing this, and I say this because we are notably part of the staff and board, so putting this out there, this is not applied to TFF. I do think that there's a certain market in the fandom for a adult level stuff. I mean, hell, we've talked about you dealing with minors at the Fur Planet table.
Oh yeah.
And for me, who has to run herd over a sea of dealers, many of which who have some degree of adult stuff at all. Like, I am so wound up about, oh god, I don't want to get some kind of charge about exposing a minor to lewd materials, because that can carry a serious charge. That would take a whole hell of a lot of anxiety off my plate to not have to worry about exposing minors to porn. Yeah.
And, like, that's a lot of it for me is just not having to worry of having underage people around. Like, I'm pro the 18 plus or 21 plus needed type of furry convention, but not because I want to, like, walk around half naked or have sex in a hallway or just have tits and dicks everywhere. I mean, I would be against that, but, you know, the real thing is that sometimes adults just like to hang around with other adults, and they don't want kids yakking in their ear, and they don't want screaming, to worry about the
shrill child yelling and running.
Right, and you don't want the liability of somebody picking up a print that's got a dick on it, and they don't want the liability of someone going to a room party, and a 19-year-old got served alcohol. You know, because they had a fake ID or something. It's or still even just people just to ass.
Fucking check.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying even people do check. It's still the adult's ass.
Yeah.
If a child sneaks in with a fake ID.
And it's the same thing across the board. Anytime a child does things, you as an adult are at fault. It's kind of like when the kids would hit on you, like the under whatevers. A couple years ago, mm-hmm. when we were talking about, like, I've been talking to this person, I got real close, and we get the emails in, oh, I found out that they are blah, and they lied to me, and, well, shit, now you're fucked. They told me they're 18. They're actually 16, and now their parents are mad. And it's like, I would not have done this if they had told me, but they told me, and I believed them, but I'm still an adult, so I'm at fault.
So, I mean, before you get naked, you have to cut them in half and count the rings.
Yeah, doesn't everybody do that with their partners? I thought that was standard these days.
It should be. Oh, yeah. You know, and once they heal, you can get married.
That's science.
You have a story to tell for years. Yeah, that's science. And if they don't, heal right, they'll just create two separate beings, and now you're in a poly relationship.
Yeah, it's like a starfish.
Yeah, or cut them in half and get two.
The doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
You're out of his hand in that episode. Yeah.
The
it's called a hand job.
The liability of having kids around it. I mean, it's not. It's like you said, people aren't wanting Folsom. They just want the opportunity to have an adult space where everybody in the con space is guaranteed to be of age.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about liability or guarding yourself or.
Then yeah, they've been vetted to be 21 plus or 18 plus. We have
a real marketing problem when, like, because I've seen cons before say we're an 18 plus con, and everyone automatically assumes, like, it's junk out, it's Folsom, it's a bacchanalia, it's going to be an orgy all weekend, furries are all about sex, and it's like,
no, nah. Dude. Like, I've been talking to a couple of people, like, you know, me and Siam went on a cruise a couple of years ago. We did Carnival. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of families, which I am child-free, partly by choice, partly by not. I love being an aunt, never wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. I don't mind kids, but I am obviously not enamored with them. And there gets times when the, you know, shrill yelling and shrieking and everything else just starts to grate on your nerves. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's just background noise and you don't, but sometimes it's just you want a break from it.
Yeah.
And so that's why 18, 21, I'd be fine with that. Hell, 16 up.
Aren't there some cruises that are 21 up?
Well, that's what brought it up, because they go on various ones. They've done some 18 up ones. So we talked about, well, what lines do that there, do those, and where do they go?
Yeah.
And talked about pros and cons about, you know, the all ages ones, mm-hmm. and kind of the more variety that you get with that. Or, but if you want that kind of, again, peace of mind where you don't have to deal with children, you know, there are these, but they're not as many of them. That, so you can only go certain places on these certain options. But if you don't want to deal with that for 2 weeks, I mean, it was a lot of kids on the Carnival cruise, like a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Like the main pool was just a soup of children 24/7.
Fanboy stew at a convention's bad enough, but if you're dealing with kids and potentially babies, no thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just full of children the entire time. See, I mean, and parents, but a lot of children with their, you know, and yeah. they accompany. You
could walk from one end of the pool to the other.
Sometimes, the yeah. Now, I will say that they threw up, put up a movie screen at one end of the pool at night, and you could go paddle around and watch a movie mm-hmm. while you swim. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I didn't get in the water, but I just kind of looked down. I was like, and they were showing, like, not a super young kids movie. It was like level of Zootopia. Level of
I mean
stuff.
Just like show Little Mermaid
yeah but it was something like that
a
and it's like
life, 17
that would be great if I was a kid I get to swim and watch a movie okay mm-hmm. but yeah so but I know that whole thing of I'm really tempted next time to go 21 plus just so I don't have to worry about all that
well yeah. and it's like with my department I have to worry about yeah the occasional raging gamer but also I have to worry more about kids breaking my shit
or running off with it.
I don't know what it is with children, but like if they see a joystick, God forbid two, they will run up and grab them with both hands and just go, ah, and just jiggle them the fuck around. And it's like the Simpsons arcade machine survived this year. But eventually, mm-hmm. if it keeps happening, that we'll have to get some new sticks and buttons, I'm sure. Like, hey, buddy, don't do that.
Yeah, I was also, like, I was at a con, it might have been TFF this year, where, like, we got in the elevator, and there's a family in there, and they had a little kid with them, and the kid starts jumping up and down on the elevator, and the parents are being like, no, 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 don't do that, and he obviously instinctually knows they're not supposed to do this, so starts doing it more, and they're like, no, for serious, and, like, Ajax and I are just like, because we'd already seen the tweet. Like, day zero for a fiesta. Like, one of the escalators is already broken. Please don't jump on the escalators. It's like, if we're 18 plus or 21 plus, we eliminate the children that don't understand.
The children who and don't appreciate the fact that the stairs still go.
Yeah, and we
as the older folks like the stairs to go.
We only have to deal with the dumbass adults who just make bad decisions.
Yeah. It's like if a kid's jumping in an elevator, since you want to put your hand on their head and just hold them down. It's like, stop.
Oh, the temptation was there.
Yeah, I'm not it's like, parent. Hey, little buddy. Or you just like hold the cash box over their head so if they jump, they're going to smack their head. God. Yeah. Mm. It actually turns out a lot of times if you're a stranger and you're like, hey, cut it out, they'll stop.
Well, their parents were right there, so yeah. I wasn't going to say anything.
But. No, but if you are, as a stranger, you get like, hey, cut it out.
But at the same point, if you do the whole stop it and the kid keeps going, don't wheedle and like beg them to stop. That's when you step in and go, okay, I said it once.
Grab them by the throat, you hold them against the
elevator.
It's
like, now we're going back to the room and we're going to have quiet time.
We're getting an abortion. But I'm 7. Very late stage. Anyways.
And I'm just like, doctor, get the hanger.
So. Unsurprisingly, that went exactly how I expected it to, as we were all gray muzzles and going, like, yeah, not necessarily fuck them kids, but also, it would be peace of mind for some of us.
Well, yeah, I don't want to fuck them kids. That's why I'm like, 18 plus only.
Exactly.
You know? I don't have to count the rings.
Make sure that everybody's, you know, of age. Because, yeah, that got a lot of people saying, oh, shit, I don't want to go.
I mean, because, that instantly went, now I'm kind of interested.
Like,
I'd love to go to a furry con and see what it's like.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised to see the replies to the tweet were, from the time I checked, they were overwhelmingly positive reaction.
They really were, and people were not being weird about it. Like, there's some like, yeah, it sucks that I couldn't go this year because I'm 20, but I'll be 21 next year. And it's like, well, good for you, buddy.
I mean, I've done Vegas once. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish this was just someplace else other than Vegas.
Like, I've done my 72 hours in Vegas. Further than that, bad decisions happen.
Yeah, that was about 3 days, and I was about ready to vape. Yep.
I got to see Blue Man Group. It was really cool.
We did, too.
But that was, like, in the early 2000s. So
they were still good 2 years ago.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
We got to see Cirque du Soleil. That was a mindfuck and beautiful. And I need to see it, like, 3 more times, because every time I looked away, something else happened. And there's vaguely a story, but... Mm-hmm. Not?
Boy, that writhing sure is telling me something.
Like, I don't know what's going on, but
it's
pretty.
The tiger jumped on that lady and then bounced away.
There's people flying through the air, and now there's ribbons, and the whole stage is now a rotating cliff, and
it's on fire.
That man is taking a shit while running at full speed.
That's entirely possible in that. It'll be made of pure glitter, though.
Okay.
We were just outside of Barstow when the fursuit spray kicked in. Just thinking driving to Las Vegas for a cup.
So, as folks know, we live in DFW, and Shiva, you've seen a Cybertruck in the wild?
Yes.
Panther has as well, so that's at least two. And I've seen posts on our Dallas that, oh my god, this fucking fridge is on 75.
I don't know if it's the same one driving around. I mean, have they been seen multiple places and multiple times?
I don't know.
This could just be the same one. He just likes driving around DFW a lot.
Could be.
I don't think it can, because they tend to malfunction after like 10 miles, so it's got to be like a separate
And they only have a certain radius, I imagine.
Yeah. The news of the day that made us titter was that all 3,860-something Cybertrucks are having to get physically recalled due to the accelerator trim cover. So, you know, the accelerator is just a lever.
Yeah.
And they had the pedal is just a bit of plastic, and the bit of plastic could come free and get stuck underneath some interior trim and basically keep your truck accelerating.
Oh.
You know, engaging permanent acceleration mode.
Yeah.
You are now terminal.
Fuck.
It's like, wow, it really lives up to Elon's go fast and break things.
Yeah, except it's everybody else. His
customers.
Yeah. Yeah, and like how I found out about this was it was a TikTok video by a guy that owned one of these Cybertrucks, and this is the one that like took off, and he was like, so here's what happened, and he's showing the piece of plasticky metal covering compared to, you know, he's like, what happened was it slid forward and it got caught under this thing here. I was like, wow, that's fucked. And then the news broke later on that all less than 4,000 of them had been recalled to fix this, because it's kind of a big fucking deal.
I mean, it's bad enough that the things were breaking, like you said, within a mile. There's so many of these videos where people, I just drove this off the lot, check this shit out, it's so cool, and then just fucking, like, red alert sirens going off. Looks like it's out of Star Trek. The screen literally, like, pulses red.
Wow.
Because this guy was, he accelerates and then just suddenly errors.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said it was, like, really cool for about 5 minutes. Apparently the salesman was like, it's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Or the guy where his axle broke within 100 miles. And they're like, oh, you drove it hard.
Yeah. He'd had it like 3 weeks or 3 months.
That's just normal wear and tear, don't you know?
They actually tried to claim that, yeah.
Well, then there was the guys that took their Cybertruck dune hopping, and the thing's 9,000 pounds, so it doesn't exactly hop as it so much as impacts the earth, rattling itself loose.
Oh my god.
They lost some parts, fucked the radiator, cracked the windshield. And,
like, they literally make a vehicle to do specifically this, called a dune buggy.
And they're not $100,000. Light
as fuck, because you don't fucking do that in a normal car, let alone a $9,000 hunk of stainless steel.
It's just so impressive how badly this thing has shook out. Because, you know, obviously we're no Elon fans here, but just the sheer amount of free Schadenfreude that you get from just looking in the news and going, "Oh, yep, that shit broke. Oh, that sure is broken."
Yeah.
And ordering a nationwide recall of these trucks. The website had been updated to be like, delivery in 2025 if you gave them a $150 down payment today.
Mm-hmm.
Like a hold your spot in line type thing.
Right.
And that's $150 free dollars you're never going to see back from Elon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible that the last Cybertrucks ever have been made at this point, because, well, the earning calls are coming here in a few days, and it's not looking good, because for some reason, the red-blooded American patriots who call EV cars for fags aren't buying EVs, and the people that would buy it recognize Elon as a piece of shit and aren't going to purchase it, because there's now other options.
Yeah.
Like, I were talking on the way here, Fuzz, and it's like, in the same time frame they made Well, like in the entirety of
the
F-150 Lightning, I think they sold nearly 10,000 trucks in the first quarter of the year, as opposed to the only less than 4,000 that Cybertruck since they started shipping them. Period, which is like late last year.
I mean, you could get an EV, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, like just off the top of my head, like there's
Kia's introducing their market.
Yeah,
they've got a low price EV that's like $25,000 or something like that.
And, you know, you don't have to pussy out and buy a little Prius or, you know, if you're that kind of person. You can get a fucking truck. You can get an SUV.
You can get an electric Mustang.
Yeah.
We know at least two people that have those.
Things actually kind of cool.
Yeah, they are neat. It's just funny because, like, today they announced that and all the Tesla fanboys are, like, reporting the links on Facebook so that, like, oh, the people have reported this link is harmful, when it's just a link to the, like, MSNBC article saying that they're getting recalled.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's going to be these guys like, I'm not returning my Cybertruck. It's mine. I got it now. And then, like, there's just going to be rogue Cybertrucks in the wild you got to worry about that aren't fixed.
Oh, no.
It's like, is this, oh shit, a Cybertruck in the wild? Is that one that's been repaired or no? And they have like a come and take it, and it's just like a fucking gas pedal. I could see it happening.
I pedal where I please.
Yeah.
Also, you know, so I don't have conspiracy brain, but in this case, I could totally understand if some of these people were like, if I give them my Cybertruck, I'm never going to see it again, as a legitimate fucking concern, which is how much Elon and Tesla fuck shit up.
Yeah. Well, like, now they're having to do this recall, like, there's going to be a line for that repair, which, you know, should be very simple. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that they didn't add a mechanical attachment. Apparently, it was just glue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, glue the little plastic bit over the metal bit of the accelerator pedal. So that's got to get fixed, and they just got to reattach the trim. It shouldn't be very hard. But then if you have your Cybertruck braking, if it goes through a puddle or goes through a car wash, there was that guy. He's like, oh, I engaged car wash mode and took my truck through, and it broke.
Yep.
And, like, he was doing the method where you have to reset your car. You have to hold the two buttons on the thing, and it should, like, reboot the system, and it just makes a popping noise like a capacitor blowing.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's not right. There should be a little T on the screen right here, and it's not coming back. And it's like, you have a 9,000-pound paperweight in your garage. Good job, buddy. I mean, I feel bad for that guy, in as much that he's now out $100,000 or whatever for a car, but dog, you should have fucking known better. So, like, sympathy for, wow, you got fucked, but you did it to yourself.
I mean, they're so ugly, too. Like, they are hideous.
Just,
they're made for that Mad Max future. That's why they can't handle car washes, because there'll be no water in the future.
Yeah. I mean, in Fallout, there's the ocean.
Mm.
So, have you watched that, Shiva? Fallout?
No, Cyan has.
Okay. Because Panther and I did. Like, we had dropped our Amazon Prime, like, over the ad thing, and I needed to buy some things, and they're like, if you don't have Prime, we'll get it in, like, 2 weeks, and it was, like, stuff I needed short term, so I was like, fine, whatever, and I reactivated it. And so, when they dropped Fallout, I mentioned to Panther, hey, we could watch this, and he's like, oh, did you reactivate? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, when is it not fully out? Yeah, I was like, no, they just dropped everything at once. And, oh, so we watched it over the course of, like, 4 days. It's only like,
are you getting ads on your
occasionally video? Sometimes.
Yeah, because I am, because, like, I've been rewatching The Expanse on Prime Video,
because it was like a minute of ads, but, like, not every episode,
right? Yeah.
And you just mute it like you're on fucking watching Paramount Plus, where we're doing Lower Decks, and they have like 4 ad breaks.
Mm.
Or,
that's egregious.
And it's like,
unless you pay double.
Yeah. So
you pay and you get to watch ads.
It's,
you
have, like,
to pay
$6 a month with ads, $12 a month without.
It's horseshit. It's better to pirate, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little harder to watch them on a projector if we're pirating it. But anyways, we both really enjoyed the show, but if neither one of you watched it, it's kind of hard to discuss it.
Well, have you watched The Three-Body Problem?
We have not, because that's Netflix.
Yeah, that is a mindfuck. Holy crap. And that is a huge mindfuck of a film. Also, really kind of depressing. Huge mindfuck.
Yeah, as long as, I haven't watched it, but it was like a Hugo Award-winning novel. And
yeah.
Like a few years ago.
Yeah, I haven't read the novel, but the movie itself, or show, holy shit. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because, but, I mean, you don't have to actually be a fan of Fallout to watch the show.
That's
yeah.
what I heard.
They tell you, they give you the gist right away, and if you know the Fallout...
I saw you, I think it was you, you skeeting this, you and Panther were doing, like, say it, war never changes!
Yeah. they say the line, and both of us, I was like, he's gonna say it, and they're like, yeah, he said the thing, or there's a Deathclaw skull, or there's a laser rifle. Because we're like, I'm not a fan of the series because I don't like crapsack worlds. I like that you can mod it so that the world's not like completely dead. Mm-hmm. But in the lore of Fallout, the world is just fucked. Right. Because the nukes are basically magic, the earth is poisoned forever, and what life is there will slowly get fucked up by the radioactive dust, and everybody's sort of doomed. So, like, premise-wise, sucks ass. But obviously, the games are about surviving against all odds and trying to make things just slightly better, if only for a while. And that is what happens in the show. Mm. And, you know, very important things to know. The dog survives. She's fine. That's yeah. very important for most people. There is peril towards her once. Otherwise, she's okay. That's good. That's very important because, like, at one point she gets hurt and I'm like, oh, they don't show it. Yeah. But they show her lying on the ground, and I'm like, oh no! And mm-hmm. I was like, if they kill this dog, and they deprive us of having a dog meat in the show, I'm dropping it. And well, they did not. She's
it's,
fine.
It's like a three-body problem. One of the people mentions that he has a cat. And there's something going on where everybody is in danger in the place where the cat lives, and they're going to potentially die horribly. And we paused. We went to... Does the dog die? Look up. And it's basically, you don't see what happens to the cat. You don't hear what happens to the cat. There's no allegation to the cat. You can safely assume that it escaped.
Oh, okay.
That's my headcanon. The cat got out fine.
Well, I mean, those kind of, like, I don't care that, you know, yeah, like, that guy got his head crushed like a grape in the fist of a power mech. Who gives a shit? He's a human. Whatever. They're a dime a dozen. But a dog.
the only time I can stand it is when it is an awful, like, blatantly CGI and or puppet animal.
Yeah,
like, you know, if I cannot suspend my disbelief, it's mm-hmm. tolerable. If it's anything like lifelike, nope.
Well, and because it's the guy from Person of Interest, I forget the guy's name.
Jim Caviezel?
No, the other guy.
I don't know who else is in that show.
The helper guy. But there was a German Shepherd, and so, like, uh-huh. this guy shows up in a lot of shows, and he generally seems to have a dog with him. And mm-hmm. so, in his particular case, dog meat in the show is a puppy that he saved from being incinerated because she was, like, 9.8 grams as opposed to 10, and it's like, there's a sign, like, any puppy under 10 grams should be incinerated, and they literally throw one into a fire. Like, it's obviously a CG, but you hear a little, and it's like, ah! The enclave is fucked up. They're evil. Right. But he rescues this dog, and she's his companion. He raises her and trains her, mm-hmm. as opposed to making her into basically what becomes a cyber dog.
Right.
So
is that roughly what happens to the game series, the lore?
Is that why dog meat has infinite storage capacity? she's hollow on the inside from the cyber.
That's just Todd Howard. He's a weirdo. That is an element of the show that you can rest assured the dog is okay.
Yeah, Ajax and I were concerned about that with the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie. Does the hyena survive? And he does.
Humans? Who gives a shit? Animals? Hang on. But yeah, we watched that. It was a lot of fun.
Maybe if you haven't watched it out.
Yeah. Like, everyone...
That's an Apple show?
Wait, no, Amazon. It's Amazon.
Amazon.
No, we finished watching Manhunt the other day, which is a historical drama around the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and the manhunt around John Wilkes Booth. And it was really funny because in episode 6, John Wilkes Booth says, I've gotten out of worse scrapes than this. And I was like, I don't think so, John. because it's only 7 episodes long, and the 7th episode is about the trial.
Right, yeah.
Of everyone else. So,
which, you know, he doesn't make it to trial, right?
No, he gets shot in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Just like Lincoln did. And he asphyxiated over the course of 3 hours. Apparently pretty, it's a really gnarly way to go.
Yeah, like you think getting shot in the head's a quick death, but I guess it depends where in the head you get shot.
Who asphyxiated? Was it Will?
John Wilkes Booth.
Ah.
So the story was that he raised a gun and one of the guys, basically the in the show, like the guy just basically just caps him through a hole in the fence, basically.
Oh, okay.
And the guy that shot him is portrayed as like this fanatic for God. He's like, I've been given a holy purpose to find the man that killed Lincoln. And well, he did. And they shorten out his death on the show, but I looked up the historical record and was like, yeah, it took him 3 hours to die. It only partially severed his spinal cord, so he's very, 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 very slowly asphyxiated on the front porch of a house. Oh, and I was like, wow, well, that little fucker got something he deserved, I guess.
Shit.
It's that's kind of awful, but I don't know. I don't feel too sad. It's like, you know.
It's like, you gave us Andrew Johnson, you piece of shit. He was an awful president. Like, they don't shy away from pointing out that Johnson's a massive piece of shit, because we didn't even get, you don't even get to the part where, you know, Trail of Tears and all that other bullshit that he pulled.
Yeah, I don't think you'd have the time if it's around the arrest and death of John Wilkes Booth.
Like. Yeah, it's literally only about the Secretary of War, William Stanton, who led the manhunt to find him out and put him on trial. Then at the end of the show, you know, he had asthma and died. He was the only Supreme Court justice to ever have been appointed and not serve due to dying before assuming office.
Oh.
Which is a fun fact. I know this because I read the Wikipedia article. I'm not that smart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the end I was like, did they change it any? They varied slightly. But they kept it very historically accurate on the show. And it's very well produced and enjoyable in as much that a historical drama that around the Civil War can be.
Yeah.
And the fucked upness of American history around that time and how badly we betrayed the freed slaves about their land grants and various other horseshit that Johnson didn't pull through because, well, that wasn't what he wanted. That was a neat show, though, if you want to watch a good historical drama.
I guess I've been rewatching The Expanse.
That's such a good show.
Ajax and I have been watching The Bad Batch, which the season's still going.
Yep, we caught up on that, too.
Yep.
We've been watching, we're current on Discovery.
My Paramount Plus expired, and I'm kind of like, do I feel like paying for it for Discovery again?
Well, Panther is watching Discovery, because we still have my parents' Paramount Plus. They get it through Walmart. Their Walmart subscription or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And so
that's how we get it.
He's been watching Discovery because it's like season 5 now, and I've not watched any of it, but he's been watching it since the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, it's the final season.
So that's wrapping up, and then Lower Decks is getting one final season.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad.
I mean, like they said, 5 seasons is a lot more than you would expect for a show like that. And the fact that they know they're getting, that it's ending. They put out a statement today that Ajax shared in our chat fuzz that they're writing an ending and a send-off for the crew so they don't have a season ender cliffhanger. But also, Strange New Worlds got a further season renewal, so they've only aired 2 seasons with a 3rd forthcoming, but they've renewed it for also a 4th.
Yes.
Because they did end season 2 on a actual cliffhanger.
But they had 3 already signed.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
that, I love that show so much. It's so good.
I'm sorry, they should, like, studios should budget when they're planning out a season. Okay, if this gets canceled, we want, like, ask for, like, 2 more episodes worth of budget as a just in case.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get used, it can get moved into the next season's funds. But it's, okay, we're going to cancel it. Okay. You got limited time. Here's how you got a little bit of time to wrap up.
And also fucking tell them in advance, because apparently the Discovery cast and crew did not know that season 5 was going to be their last one going into it.
Oh.
And it was mostly done. And so the writer in an interview said that they were able to get additional filming time and do some tweaks to the script of the last episode to make it more of a season wrap-up rather than just a series finale. And they said it still holds together all the little hints and things throughout the season. It doesn't, like, derail any of that. But they didn't know until they were practically done with it. And then they went in and they were like, we got, like, a couple extra days of shooting to shoot, like, final scenes between characters and stuff like that. I guess, you know, you can't always control the timing, but I'm just sort of like, why didn't y'all tell them that in advance? You know?
Yeah, you should make, or have it built into, like, a season where, okay, if we need to pull a ripcord, give us a couple exits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Okay, so, okay, we filmed this one, and we got filmed two more. We need to ripcord and wrap up this way. Just pre-plan some exit points.
Yeah, like, at least, like, J. Michael Straczynski had apparently built in a bunch of exit points into Babylon 5, so that if he lost one or more major characters, he had ways to reroute the plot around them, which came in handy because he lost Michael O'Hare playing Captain Sinclair in the first season.
Yeah, that was, it's sudden.
It was for mental health reasons, found out years later. But, you know, and he had to move basically the bulk of the plot to John Sheridan as the character for the rest of the series. But he had, like, worked out a bunch of that shit in advance. You know, and it was also, that show also got fucked because, like, he wrote a 5-year arc, and then they were like, we're going to cancel you at season 4. So they literally filmed the 2-hour finale, and then another network at the last minute stepped in and said, we'll do your 5th season. So I'm sure he was like, at that point. So they just vaulted the 2-hour finale for a year, made the 5th season, and then aired that finale. And kind of the clusterfuck was Claudia Christensen, the actor who played Susan Ivanova throughout the whole thing, they were not able to secure a contract for season 5.
Mm.
So there's a different XO in season 5. Yep. But she's in the finale because they filmed that at the end of season 4.
Huh. Yeah, Panther just did a rewatch of that.
Yeah.
We just finished it.
And apparently it's a situation where, like, they fucked her on the money. And then just basically, she never said no. They just stopped calling her back, apparently. And we're like, fuck it. Well, and they recast her with someone who looks, like, very much like her. She's Ivanova and with the serial number filed off.
Did Panther watch the animated movie that got released recently?
I don't believe so.
I have not seen it yet.
Recommend it to him. It was decent. It's a nice kind of love letter to the cast.
Okay.
It's really good.
He's down to watch that. Like, I will occasionally get him to watch animated stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was even an animated movie. Of course, that also kind of goes like, I didn't know there was more than one Starship Troopers movie until we rewatched.
What?
Oh, there's 3 of them.
There's plus a 5 series.
Total. Oh, okay. Well, I guess there's
plus a series.
Yeah.
So, what? Okay.
All the others went direct to video. Oh. They were not successful.
So, due to the discourse around Helldivers 2 and people missing the fucking point of Helldivers 2, the original 97 Starship Troopers came up. And I hadn't seen it in forever.
Yeah.
And I'm well versed with the memes and that people use from that show, but I hadn't watched it in a long time. And it was $5 on iTunes. So I was like, yo, Panther, buy that. Let's watch it. And we did. And I don't know how anybody could fucking miss the fact that this is functionally an anti-war film.
It's an anti-war war movie.
Yeah.
It's like very sarcastic and parody of like wartime propaganda. Like
the kids stuff. The main characters live in this fascist utopia and they don't know it. And you know, the way they talk about the bugs is what they want the humans to be. They're obedient and loyal and put the value of the hive over themselves and all this other stuff. When you have like the section scene where the main character's just handing the organs to the other girl.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that was like the director's like favorite scene in the entire thing, because he just is like, handing these goopy ass organs, and then the character throws up. It's this super violent movie that does not glorify war in any way. Nobody gets good deaths. There's like very several hundred people die in the film. Mm-hmm. Like the tools that they give the soldiers are vastly ineffective. Yeah. And by the end of the film, you are hit in the face by the fact that humanity is not doing well. They are in fact losing against these bugs. And we watched it and I was like, how could you fucking miss the point that things are not good? That like, yeah, the main character went up the ranks by the people dying around him and him assuming the mantle, field mm-hmm. promoted. But then there was two live action movies. One was an alien style movie, the second, and then the third was a standard actioner. And then the fourth and the fifth were animated. But there was also a cartoon series done by Mainframe Entertainment in the late mm-hmm. 90s called Roughnecks, which was based upon some of the more just adventures where it's like the soldiers fighting bugs, but it was for kids. It was a no irony actioner, like G.I. Joe style CG series.
Yeah.
There's also been several video games and whatnot, but like I was not aware that there was a whole ass quote unquote universe around that film series.
And that's not even getting into the book.
Yeah. Which apparently was a anti-Korean War film. The way people talk about it, it's like, yeah, it was actually seen as being pretty prescient because it was done in 97 prior to the War on Terror. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you could easily kind of parallel the bugs as, well, we got into Afghanistan and Iraq. And where did they film the movies in? These desert shitholes that a lot of people were getting heat stroke in. Apparently the production was not good.
Ooh.
That was just a fun aside. That was a movie we watched recently. And I wouldn't say it is great, but it holds up as an actioner.
I'd say it's pretty great.
I thought it was fun. Doogie Howser, SS. Mm-hmm. You know.
So, the director, Paul Verhoeven, is also directed RoboCop and the original Total Recall.
Yeah.
I can kind of see the stylizing. Yeah. There. Kind of like you can tell Tim Burton's.
Yeah. So he did some good shit. It's a guy,
Guy Ritchie.
Right.
So yeah, it's like Guy Ritchie films. They're all hyper action, violent movies. Because we recently, like Panther mentioned something, he's like, "Oh, what about The Gentleman?" I'm like, "I've never heard of that." And then like Anita's like, "It's a Guy Ritchie film. You know what you're getting. It's an action movie with big dumb dudes doing big dumb violent dude stuff." And it's like, that's the type of shit Panther loves. So I occasionally watch that
one. It's funny. I don't know if they're still together, but at the time he made Snatch, he was dating Madonna. And there's this scene where, like, someone's driving while dragging another guy outside a window. And Madonna's Lucky Star starts playing on the radio. And the guy goes, "I love this song."
Speaking of funny movie shit, the fact that they're getting Keanu Reeves to be Shadow the Hedgehog in the third Sonic movie is funny. Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Guy Ritchie, also the one that's coming out soon, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh, yeah, which is actually a docu-comedy
actual World War II. That's what fucking Christopher Lee was in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, prior to his death, obviously.
Yeah, in the 40s, dude. Like,
shit. Okay, you mean IRL.
I mean, in real life.
I thought it was like, oh, is he acting? No, I was like, he died a while ago.
No. Like, in real life, because everyone in the UK was, like, conscripted for... a lot of those actors of his generation would be like, after his wartime service, he went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts or whatever. But,
yeah.
No. There's this famous story about him shooting one of the Lord of the Rings movies, and he has to stab someone in the back, and the other character yells, and Christopher Lee tells the director, Peter Jackson, "That's not what a man sounds like when he's stabbed in the back."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just, like,
that's it.
Voice of authority. Like, and I could just imagine Peter Jackson being like, okay.
Well, Saruman still had to scream as he fell from the tower, otherwise going, as he fell would be nearly as dramatic.
Yeah, he was really doing that shit, man.
Yeah,
so and then in his 70s or early 80s, he was in, like, a heavy metal band, and just, dude had a fucking life.
So, shifting topics slightly to an article that came up today that is from MSN. It's like, scientists push new paradigm of animal consciousness, saying even insects may be sentient. Which they're kind of conflating sentience and sapience, in a way. Because, like, the article starts, bees play by rolling wooden balls, apparently for fun. The cleaner wrasse fish appears to recognize its own visage in an underwater mirror. Octopuses seem to react to anesthetic drugs and will avoid settings where they are likely to experience past pain. All three of these discoveries came in the last 5 years. Indications that the more scientists test animals, the more they find that many species may have inner lives and be sentient. A surprising range of creatures have shown evidence of conscious thought and experience, including insects, fish, and some crustaceans. This has prompted a group of top researchers on animal cognition to publish a new pronouncement that they hope will transform how scientists and society view and care for animals. Nearly 40 researchers signed the New York Declaration on Animal Consciousness, which was first presented at a conference at New York University on Friday morning. It marks a pivotal moment as a flood of research on animal cognition collides with debates over how various species ought to be treated. So, the TLDR on this article is like, oh shit, animals aren't meat robots. Cleaner wrasse will recognize, like, hey, there's a spot on my side. What the fuck is that? And try to clean it off. Crawfish will, given shocks, will show, like, anxiety and avoid the area where they got shocked and only revert to their behavior when given anti-anxiety drugs.
I mean, it'd be so much cheaper to just ask any pet owner.
Well, yeah.
If they thought their dog was not a meat sack, you know?
Like, does your dog have strong preferences? Like, I've determined Adam's particular hierarchy of fears. Like, which does he prefer more?
Mm-hmm.
Being closer to me? But what if I'm in the shower? But that's scary. But storms are scarier.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I can sort of guess he's going to be stuck to my side. I'm like, yo, Adam, I'm going to be in the shower. And he's like, I'll hide in the closet. Don't mind me. He brings his rawhide and wants me to sit with him on the couch. So he brings it to me, tosses it at my feet. If I go to reach for it, he grabs it and runs and looks back to see if I'm going to follow. Runs to the couch, waits for me to sit down, curls up next to me and starts chewing on his rawhide. Like, he doesn't have words, but he tells me exactly what he fucking wants.
I'm really surprised that this wasn't the default assumption.
Yeah.
So there's a story I read online that, like, dude was just chilling out, and there was a sudden lightning strike, and his Roomba shrieked, launched itself out of its charging station, and started zooming around. And he said, so now I'm sitting here holding a trembling active Roomba during this thunderstorm. And the response was, man, humans will pack bond with literally anything.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, we anthropomorphize everything.
We do.
Like, why would the default assumption be that animals are just dumb meat sacks?
Well, you know? And the thing is, because you have like French philosophers like René Descartes, arguing that animals are merely material automata, lacking souls or consciousness. Descartes believed that animals can't feel or can't suffer. And, well, we know that.
He clearly never took his cat to the vet, I guess.
Or had a dog that stepped on a leaf and it poked him. Like, Adam is a drama queen if he steps on a sharp leaf. And he'll immediately just be like, eh. And he'll, like, hold his little paw out if, like, the leaf is stuck in it. Like, I need your help. Help me out here.
You have a thumb.
Yeah, exactly. And the bigger question, you know, it's like, yes, obviously, animals are...
Or how awful you feel if you accidentally kick your pet and they yelp or squeak.
Yeah, or, like...
What's amazing is they show that dogs, at least, understand when you go, oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That you they know. Understand. Kind of like when they get you, like they, you know, whether it's a bonk or, you know, accidental, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you got the hunkering and the wagging. And it's like they apologize back too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it does come down to human supremacy from both philosophy, that's listed Christian in the article,
theology.
And the Christian theology of humanity is the pinnacle of everything and everything else that exists to serve us. And
it's
like,
such a fucking stupid toxic belief.
You know, this also, of course, raises other questions about, you know, should we be eating meat? How are we treating the animals in our meat industry? How are we treating chickens, pigs? You know, so we have our companion animals, right? And then we have our food animals, and we treat them like shit. But then, like, what counts as a food animal changes from country to country.
Yeah, yeah, from culture to culture, rabbits. Right?
Yeah.
Hell, there's chickens here that are more pets than anything else.
When I was a kid, my mom, we had chickens and ducks. There were egg layers, but my mom had this one fancy-ass black and white chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it was one of these chickens that had the black and white feather mix, and they had the poofy head.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pet. It rode on her shoulder. And unfortunately, neighborhood dogs broke into the chicken coop and killed them all. But they were a pet. They mm-hmm. laid eggs. We ate the eggs. But
yeah,
that one was spoiled.
Yeah. And so that is a question. But like the fact that they're like, oh, shit. Yeah, animals do have thoughts and feelings and can transmit, you know, lessons to their families and their kids. Like, hey, don't go here or go here. There's food. And it's like, oh, shit, we're not the pinnacle of evolution. We're a weird branch of monkeys.
Well, there's some things like dogs, when they interact with puppies, will play like, ouch, that hurts. And yeah. they demonstrate, you mm-hmm. know, they teach the puppies that's too hard and how to play. You know, they're very obvious skills that puppies who are hand-raised versus raised by parents and how you experience, because a parent would have done a lot of that teaching you. When you're hand-rearing that yeah. puppy, has to teach it. So you have to go through the two hard bites and the overacting.
I saw an article a few weeks ago that was talking about this animal sanctuary, and they were raising a baby fox, and they don't want the baby fox to imprint on the human and think that that's her mother. So the handlers would wear basically a fursuit head, a fox mask, so that the fox would know that she's a fox. She looks like this, red fur, pointy ears, muzzle, not imprint on humans and think that that's what she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very interesting, because she'll have a much better chance after being released into the wild again, you know, surviving, you know.
Well, you've seen it with the condors, when they basically feed them with a sock puppet that looks like a condor head.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
keep them from bonding to humans for the same reason. And makes them think that, hey, I'm a condor.
It's like, I've always believed that, like, you know, all species possess some kind of intelligence. It's different from ours, or it may not be as developed as ours, but, you know, over the course of millions of years, like, that's why, like, a lot of, like, the uplift ideas or the evolution ideas in science fiction of, like, one day there will be anthropomorphic cats and dogs, because, like, give cats and dogs a couple more million years of evolution and, you know,
figure out a way to give them thumbs and we're in trouble. To me,
you know, what'd you say?
Figure out a way to give them thumbs and we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
I don't have good examples of it, but there's some polydactyl cats where that comes in more like a thumb than a dew claw. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them where they can pick up things with their little badly articulated hand, but it works like a thumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so some of them are getting there.
And even Adam, he'll, you know, hold his rawhide in between his paws sometimes, kind of gripping it and chew on it that way.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll use his paws to hold, you know, it's not the same as like a crow or corvid using tools to open a thing, but
I was going to mention that. Yeah. Cause there's articles about, you know, oh, you know,
and dolphins,
animals can't use tools. And it's like, crows would like to have a word with you.
Crows,
you
know? Elephants, dolphins.
Yeah.
Like there was an article Octopuses? I saw recently. Yeah. Well, this article goes into that in a second. And corvids, even though their neuron density is like a quarter of that of an ape, has shown the same like degree of intelligence as one. So like even our thoughts and the density of their brains could be incorrect, because these birds are fucking smart.
Because well, they remember you. Bigger brain, smarter creature, but depending on how it's laid out, you know, like circuits, like that's not necessarily true.
Well, there's a cases of like crows where someone like abused one crow out of, and that crow will remind you, will remember this person and will tell all the other crows this around that this, this person is bad. And they communicate it. They remember it for a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
And the reverse is opposite is true too, where people like give them treats and the birds will bring you shiny gifts as like, hey, we'll bring you a thing if you give us some more seeds or whatever. But yeah, specifically octopi. Yeah. British law recently amended to consider octopus sentient beings along with crabs and lobsters, which, well, and ideally would go, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't kill them and eat them, but they're like, well, you just have to slaughter them differently. But then also a indigenous group of the Maori in Southeast Asia were like, we count whales as people. Mm-hmm. Quit killing them. And so, like, this type of article is important in as much that it puts that seed of thought into somebody's mind that maybe we should not do this the certain way, or maybe we ought to treat our animals better.
And, like, and if you're going to be a meat eater, well, give them nice quality lives.
Yeah.
And own up to
what you're doing.
What you're doing.
Because, you know, like,
and it's,
the way I was raised was always, you know, treat animals with respect and treat them as part of your family. And there's a lot of people who that's not the case,
mm-hmm.
or they're afraid of animals, or they never owned animals, never had them in their family. And so, like, for me, this is a very much of a no-brainer. But, like, the fact that this is an article that got served to me on my, like, Windows start menu is like, oh, well, that's a good thing, that more people might see this and might think for a second. Fuck, I think the term is carnism, which was the... It was basically, like...
Carnivore supremacy?
Well, it is... It's basically having a hierarchy of animals, like, which count as friend and which are food. And
how what are disgusting and what's trash. And
like, you know, do I stomp this bug or do I open the door and let it out? Do I pet the cow or do I eat the cow type thing? Do I have a chicken as a pet that gives me eggs or do I wring its neck and have it for dinner? It's a frame of reference. And like, just think about it. I'll include the link in the show notes because it was sort of, it was fascinating to me because it's like, oh good, they're posting about this, and you know, this is a maybe we should treat our animals better. And the fact is that there are organizations out there that are very much against any sort of legislation to treat animals better, like food wise like legislation of how to,
they would cost more.
Yeah, they'd have to cost more, meat would be more expensive, yada yada yada. Yeah. Like, we have states trying to ban cultured meat for some reason, because the meat industry is just that strong. You know, back in the 90s, Oprah got sued in Texas and Amarillo. Oh,
yeah, I was. Yeah. Which show was that, Bound to Bastards?
That was...
You're wrong about.
I think it might have been Maintenance Phase.
Oh, it might have been Maintenance Phase.
Mm-hmm. It was the podcast Maintenance Phase.
No, no, I mean, what, sued?
So in the mid-90s, with the mad cow going around England, they didn't... a show on that and talking about why that happened. They didn't know why it had happened specifically in England yet, but they did the show on Oprah. This was not near the height of her power, but pretty close. And she said she would never eat another burger again. Unfortunately, in the US, there are laws called, like, veggie libel laws, where somebody in an industry level can sue somebody if they're like, ah, broccoli's disgusting, I hate it, I'm never going to eat broccoli again.
If they're high enough profile.
Yeah. So Oprah saying, I'm not going to eat a hamburger, she got sued by a cattlemen association in Texas, in Amarillo. And it was a big fucking spectacle at the time.
Yeah. In fact, she did her show live from Amarillo for the period of time that the trial was happening.
Because she was contractually obligated to do X shows a month. And so she had to basically be on trial and then do her show. And with veggie libel laws, it's guilty until proven innocent.
Where did that end up?
She was acquitted. And the cattlemen got nothing. But it was a big deal. And a lot of states have this kind of disparagement law on the books.
I wonder if that ever came up when George H.W. Bush said that he didn't like broccoli. I think it was when he was still vice president. It was shortly after he became president. He said, I've never liked broccoli ever since I was a kid. Now that I'm president, I don't have to eat it. And, well, I doubt the broccoli industry is as strong as the beef industry.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. Like... the Brassica gang. And the thing is, like, we have actually bred a lot of the Brassica cultivars, cauliflower, collard greens. There's a whole shitload of it.
Yeah, you get into
Is it Brassica again? It's Brassica again.
There's so many things that can... Mustard.
Yeah.
Grow into Brassica?
Yeah.
Probably something. How big that family is? Likely.
But yeah, it was the Texas meat industry that was like, don't you disparage our burgers. And on maintenance phase, they point out the fact that the UK was doing some shady shit with their feed that was illegal in the US.
Yeah.
So we never had that issue in the US.
Oh, yeah. It was like feeding them back their own brains.
Yeah. When they slaughter the animals, they...
There's all this leftover stuff.
They ground up all the leftover stuff, which included spinal cords and brains, which it basically made them do cannibalism, which is never good for any species, regardless of what they are.
Prions, dude, are fucking freaky.
And so, in cows, in humans, this is why you don't do cannibalism.
Oh.
And,
see, I didn't know there was
If you do, don't eat the brains or any nerve system.
I didn't know there was a biological reason. I just thought there's obviously moral and ethical reasons.
Well, yeah. Moral and ethical, sure, but if you get that other stuff in your body, the prions that are present in the brain and the spinal cord and the nervous system.
And they cannot be destroyed except by exceedingly high temperatures.
Yeah, you can't cook it out. So they were feeding cows cow sludge as
which transmitted those whole prions to a new host. And you repeat.
Which basically caused the brain to freak the fuck out and start eating itself. It's not good, folks. Mm-mm. So, you know, one, don't do cannibalism if you can help it, but also this is why it happened, and it's not likely to return unless people start feeding brains to cows. Cow brains to cows, specifically.
It just takes one, and then it just kind of...
Okay, so just to be clear, I can still feed human brains to cows.
Probably not. Like, you shouldn't eat brain in general, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I wanted a pass. I had plans this weekend. You know, I'm going to the adult night at the zoo. I wanted to try some shit.
The pork brains and milk probably shouldn't have that.
Mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, anyways, now that I've...
What, pork brain and milk?
Yeah, it's a thing you can get. Don't.
What?
I swear to fuck, it's an honest-to-God product.
Is this in your fucking Jell-O cookbook, Saverin? I swear to God.
No, it's like Armor Foods.
Is there a Dr. Pepper version where it's brain and Dr. Pepper?
And milk.
Oh, God. There is a new Dr. Pepper flavor, the coconut one. I'm curious. Really good, but...
With or without brain.
I tried.
There's no brain.
I tried the Coke Zero Spice. It tastes the way some of my hookah shisha smells.
Mm.
Like, it tastes like fake raspberry, but it's kind of like the same smell flavor you get with some of the fruitier shishas. And I cannot get past that.
Okay. Dr. Pepper coconut milk. It's a real no-brainer.
So, looking at Google Shopping... There are brands, Rose brand pork brains in milk gravy, but it doesn't seem to be sold, like, these seem to be vintage cans as opposed, like, fallout ass cans.
Right.
Not something made recently, but pork brains with milk gravy was a thing.
I can see, like, a cream gravy, unfortunately.
It's probably something like genuine haggis is legal. In the United States, so they have like an alternate recipe to use when they make it here. It's probably something like that, like we used to have it generations ago, and then they were like, this shit's actually bad for us, we're gonna make it illegal.
Or it can...
Yeah.
Like trichinosis for pigs for so many years, they were working that out of the system.
Yeah, so I have to make sure that it's fully cooked. I'll put the link to the article in the show notes, because it is fascinating, and it is one of those things that maybe you should think about what you're eating and how it's treated.
And who.
You know?
Like, and don't eat brains.
Yeah, don't eat brains. That's a very important...
Or spinal cords. Anything in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways... That's the end of the topics that I have.
I'm thinking of spinal cords, and all I'm imagining is fucking Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
like, get over here!
And they rip the head and spine out. And then and then it's like,
well, maybe that's what's wrong with him.
I mean, he's a demon from hell he's a skeleton made of fire, so.
He could still get mad cow disease.
Mad scorpion disease.
Yeah. I thought Scorpion was the ninja-looking dude in yellow.
He is. Yeah, but he's also, in the earlier games, he was like a vengeful hell spirit. So that's why he pulled off the mask and he's a skull underneath and he breathes fire and you turn into a skeleton and scream after you're dead. Because Mortal Kombat, man, it's important, it's deep, deep lore.
You know. Did we say that at the same time?
Yeah, we did.
Going right down the rabbit hole again to a whole world you didn't.
It's really funny because they introduced Ermac into the game, and Ermac is like an amalgamation of souls inside a corpse. And so Johnny Cage, during their little intro banter, is like, so what are your pronouns? He, him, they, them? And Ermac goes, we do not understand. And that, then you start the fight. But it was funny, like, oh my god, there's pronouns in Mortal Kombat.
More like bronouns. Check out these guns. Johnny Cage.
Video games, ah, the gamers are revolting, literally.
We're still playing Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Plugging away.
I mean,
vastly excited for, you know, Little Kitty Big City coming out soon. That looks so fucking cute.
Someone shared that.
Wasn't that, that was announced like 4 years ago or something.
Yeah, right? But it's going on May 8th. It's going live.
Oh, cool, cool,
and that's so, I mean, I've never played Stray. I wanted to, but I wanted to play. It's got Goose Game vibes.
Yeah, the Stray is a puzzle platformer. It's very straightforward, whereas the other one is like, I'm a cat and I'm just fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember there was a game called Cat Lateral Damage,
mm-hmm.
where basically you're a little shithead cat and you have 30 seconds or 90 seconds to do as much damage as possible. And you had, like, goals. So uh-huh. you had to, like, knock expensive plates off. Like, you're supposed to do, like, total cash value of damages to the
oh my god, that's great.
And you're just first person and you have little kitty paws that dart out.
Holy shit, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that came out a while ago. Yeah, that's coming out soon. I'm sure there's some other furry game that was coming out recently that I'm forgetting, but
well, the Neon Roar Kickstarter was successful.
Okay.
That happened a couple of weeks ago.
I had not heard of that one.
So Fenris Publishing started like a gaming studio, or is working with a gaming studio. And it's basically, I can't remember if it's an 8 or 16-bit fight game, basically, but with furries. And it's called Neon Roar. So it's like a 90s fighting game, basically.
Okay. So looks like a side-scroller in the vein of Shovel Knight, kind of. And there's, like, a skeleton hand summoning a guitar from beyond the grave.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of music-related stuff in it, too, I think.
Okay. That was cool. Yeah, it got $83,000 of 60 gold with 550 backers. I somehow completely missed that, because I've backed so many fucking just random furry games on Kickstarter over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Had missed that one. I mean,
it's not going to be released for like a year or two, but just the Kickstarter just wrapped up and was successful like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we can include a link to that one too. And then I just saw a thing. Ah, motherfucking David Zaslav. Fuck that guy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like, which, I mean, motherfucking David Zaslav. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, like, just, like read the headline.
So, the link that Fuzz included, so David Zaslav is the CEO of Warner Brothers. After Warner Brothers took various cost-cutting measures, including turning movies into tax write-offs and refusing to pay actors and writers for months, David Zaslav's 2023 pay package is now $49.7 million, a 26.5% increase from 2022. And it's the picture of the smug motherfucker who needs a brick to his jaw. And he can maybe get a ghoul nose. He looks like he'd be a pretty bad ghoul.
And I found out about this because someone had worked, I guess, on some Warner Brothers stuff. Like, had quote posted it on Blue Sky, and it said something like, we generated $4 billion and got fucking nothing. Like, my 14 coworkers all had to move because they were laid off and couldn't afford to be where they were anymore, you know? It's fucking ridiculous. Like, they're allowed to, like, underpay all of these writers and artists, and just shelve entire projects, just shit-can finished stuff off of their streaming platform so it'll never be seen again. Not everything gets a physical release anymore, so, like, unless you're downloading as you're going, some shows are just, they're gone. Not legally available for you to watch in any format anymore.
Yeah, like, they killed the Batwoman film, which was apparently pretty much done. They killed Coyote versus Acme, which was fully finished.
Yeah.
Why?
because they tax write off, they're like, oh, we lost all this money. So they get to like write off the projected gains or something on their taxes. It's
fucking stupid corporate tax horseshit.
Yeah. Then they get to give this guy a pay bump. That's like, you know, fucking Elon Musk saying, you should give me $56 billion, despite the fact that his shit's tanking and they'd laid off 10% of their workforce. Yeah.
And I'm amazed, honestly, that Zaslav guy got such a large increase in his compensation package, considering that Warner Brothers Discovery stock was not doing that great, last I heard. Like, their quarterly earnings were down because people were pissed at them, and they're shit-canning all of their scripted stuff because throwing reality shows and nature documentaries is on there is cheaper.
Yeah. Well, like, I saw a somewhat concerning headline that, like, Warner Brothers and some other group was pondering trying to buy Paramount. And I'm like, fuck, that would be just the worst.
Yeah.
Like, they've already gobbled up a bunch of other studios.
What's this Star Trek? Oh, it's like 50 years old. That's old and busted. Fuck that.
That's gay.
Yeah, we're not paying to keep that around.
You know, they would do it, and it's constantly going on in other industries too. There was a headline that was Take Two, who made $8 billion off of Grand Theft Auto 5, is cutting workforce and canceling $100 million of projects. And it's like,
and probably using AI to fill out shit on whatever they're still working on.
Rich motherfuckers that need the guillotine.
Yeah, and this AI horse shit is really getting serious. Like, it's somebody likened it to the fetch meme, stop trying to make fetch happen. All of these tech companies are doing all these interviews and are showing up in all of these articles, and like, they're trying to make AI happen. But public interest in AI is at an all-time low. And it really is. Stop trying to make AI happen. It's not going to happen. Like, after blockchain, crypto, NFTs, we all know this is bullshit. You know, a lot of us have had to play with AI in a work context or something like that and see how fucking stupid it all is. And, like, no.
And the fact that these images get people responding sometimes is like, this woman has three ass cheeks. She's not hot. She's not real type stuff. Or like these AI generated slop from like, oh, historical photos and these accounts on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever. And it's just an AI generated ahistorical piece of bullshit. Like, hey, how many spires does Buckingham Palace have? Like a million? And they're posting these absolutely false generated images as like historical. Here's a picture of New York in the 1980s, and it's like, here's the Roosevelt Island Skyway on the street, and there's a woman just sitting on top of it, and the taxis have a weird number of wheels.
Yeah.
And
another thing I read recently was there's a voice actress who does audiobook narrations, right? And her voice was picked up and turned into an AI machine, so she just randomly discovered herself reading porn.
Yep.
That reading like a really graphic rape scene or something like that.
It was the voice actress who did the narration for Baldur's Gate 3.
Ah.
So, you know, if you heard her voice, and she does the narration in that game very well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they took this woman's voice and are making it say all sorts of shit. Like, we should have known back in the day when people were doing Gen AI and making Fluttershy say fuck. And now we have companies that are just like, we're just going to have AI narrated audiobooks now.
Yeah.
We're just going to have AI generated video games. We're going to have AI generated this. And it's like, this shit sucks. Like, it's not even that it's bad. It also fucking sucks. Stuff doesn't make sense. Stuff doesn't connect. Why does this person have three penises? How many fingers do they have? You know, like, and there's companies, some of the AI companies are going bankrupt because people aren't buying it. And these things are massively computationally expensive and burning water, burning resources for making a big-tittied woman with an Israeli army uniform going, I am military, nobody love me, and getting a bunch of weird simps and bot replies.
That sounded horrible.
It's true, though.
Like, that's what happened. Like, somebody posted something like that?
Yeah. Like, there was a whole, for a bit there, you know, we talk about pussy and bio and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
For a short period of time, basically, there are bots on Twitter that are basically using AI-generated sexy women that are not very well vetted to kind of farm engagement, but also the bots are engaging. And it's like,
yeah,
bots talking to bots talking to bots with, like, the actual humans going, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not even counting the actual, like, porn bots just replying with tits, like, full-on pornography on people's things. Like, there's the bots that'll take a generic post if it's a large account, and they'll just, like, sort of reiterate points of the post, like, down below, so you have this fake engagement going on.
Yeah, and I've noticed, like, whenever somebody posts their GoFundMe or mentions fundraising, there'll always be a handful of clearly bot-written accounts like, hey, have you heard about this thing to help boost your GoFundMe? And, it, you know, sus link, basically. Well,
I saw on, actually, Blue Sky, a webcomic artist I follow, who she was posting, like, trying to get some money together to do some dentistry, which, you know, that's important shit.
Right.
And someone's like, well, do you have a PayPal? I can send you some money. This fake account popped up and is like, oh, yes, I am using the Venmo. You can do this, because it was an account that was made that day that was, like, one letter off. reallifecomics.com is, like, reallifecomics.com is their URL, and the account that was made was, like, reallifecomics.com.bsky.social.
Jesus.
And they were trying to scoop money from...
Probably use her icon and everything, too.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. And this is what AI has been used for, to scam people and make fake engagement. Like, there's no utility, and it makes everybody's experience worse.
Yeah.
Like, just like NFTs before it, just like crypto is now, like, they're gonna be this eternal weird corner of freaks that like this shit, but mainstream adoption is not gonna work. You're gonna try to force this, but people don't want to listen to AIs just mangle words, or just, like, the opening of this week's episode of QAA, which the QAnon Anonymous podcast changed their name because they're like, we're tired of not being able to put our name on a marquee because people get weirded out by mentioning QAnon as a thing, because you attract the actual believers. It's like the Sovereign Citizen subreddit having to be like, hey, we're making fun of you, don't come asking us your horseshit questions type thing.
Wow. So are they just QAA now?
Yeah. They still cover conspiracy horseshit, and their thing is talking about how AI was causing issues in, well, everything. Right. And they AI generated the first, like, 30 seconds of the episode, and it sounds awkward and weird as hell. Because it's using the voices of the hosts to do their banter, and it sounds unnatural and weird.
I saw, so there's an article, it was, I forget if it was Vox or something like that. They were doing a printer recommendation, and they wrote, just buy that one fucking printer made by Brother that everybody has, and it just fucking works. It's like a $140 black and white laser printer, basically.
That's what we got.
And that was what was amusing about it. And then there's a section that says, so Google says that the article has to be a certain length in order to get pushed up in the algorithms or some bullshit. So here is an AI. Here is a version of this article written by ChatGPT. I didn't even spell check it. Don't bother reading it. It's just to pad out the space. And then there's, like, a big chunk of text. And, like, apparently if you read it, it's pretty fucked up. But it's basically, he must have typed a prompt, you know, describe this printer or whatever. But it's also kind of fucked up that, like, they had to, like, fake bloat the size of their article so that the Google search algorithm wouldn't, like, push their article down.
Well, I mean, in the AI generated articles, or, like, if you search for a thing, it'll be like, top 10 questions to know about blah thing.
Yeah.
And top 10 things you need to know about dog paws. And it's just a GPT article about dog paws and the importance of dog paws and why you should take care of dog paws and types of shoes you can buy for your dog. And it's made by quote AI. It's all algorithmically generated, and it may or may not be true. That's part of the reason why Google's so horseshit now. because those websites can generate infinite text and push themselves up because, like you said, it has to be a certain length.
Yep.
Anyways, very pessimistic in terms of, like, the future of creativity because we're all out here trying to fucking, like, do our audiobooks and do art books and novels, and there's other people out there telling GPT to write them a story with Madonna as their girlfriend. And what's real fucked up is you get these AI girlfriend or AI boyfriend things, and I'm like, that's gonna fuck up a whole generation of people.
I saw this this thing talking about where like one of these AI gurus was postulating about what you could do in the future. And like, you come over from a hard day's work and you sit in front of your awesome TV and then you tell it to show you a rom-com starring you and Marilyn Monroe. And it's like, number one, most people are awkward as fuck and don't like watching themselves in recordings.
Yeah.
Number two, digging up and abusing the body of a dead woman. You know? Like, it's just sort of very grotesque. Like, I was always kind of dubious about, like, holographic Michael Jackson. And was it Tupac was the other well-known one? Yeah.
It's like Tupac and Hatsune Miku performing together on stage.
Who's the second one?
She's a...
anime character?
An anime character. Okay. It's a whole thing I'd have to explain. I'll say it's Vocaloid. Don't worry about it. But performs as a hologram, and then there was a Tupac hologram.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. And I'm just sort of like, that's even different from like the Elvis impersonators, right?
Yeah.
Because at least that's someone that like puts a lot of work into the craft of like their costume and their makeup and stuff. And like, I'm sure some of them even know how to like play the guitar and learn to sing with them. It's still like him. It's still a human being, like, performing a skill. It's not just hitting a button and an image of Tupac appears and plays for you in 3D. Like, I don't know. It sucks that people die and they can't narrate audiobooks anymore. But I'm really not cool with these companies that are like, well, we bought the audio rights to this deceased actor's vocal likeness from their family, and now we're going to have him make audiobooks forever. And I'm just like, death makes your life a finite period of time, and it means something. And I'm like, it'll suck when one day James Earl Jones passes away, but I would rather that they hire an actor to do an imitation to play Darth Vader than to throw all of his years of recorded audio into a machine and have an AI do it, you know?
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. It's like, you know, like your life having a limited amount of time on this earth, like, gives your life value. It's a limited resource.
So don't fuck around.
So don't fuck around. And like, and once you pass away, you open doors for the people that come behind you, you know?
Yeah.
And actors, like, you know, if old actors are around literally forever because they've been recreated in AI form.
That's stagnation.
That makes it fucked up for, like, younger actors, you know?
Yeah. And eventually the AI intakes AI-generated slop and it just becomes this eternal cycle of brown, tasteless goo.
Yeah.
Like, and it's the same horseshit, like, talking about the movie rom-com with me and Marilyn Monroe or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same shit they were saying, oh, you can buy this NFT of a sword and take it to any game. It's the same bullshit lie. Right. Jesus Christ.
It's like, banished!
Take my watch off and yeet the bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, no more notifications for you. Like, I silenced notifications on Telegram. I silenced notifications on my phone, but I didn't silence them on my watch. So I was getting ding, ding, ding.
Yes, I tell you, if you put Do Not Disturb, and you use Apple products so you can seed it through all your devices.
Yeah, I just had muted it, and some motherfucker was like, I need to send you, like, 6 messages. It's like, stop. Ah! My watch is over there. It landed on a pillow.
Yeet.
So, anyway,
you softly yeeted your phone.
Yeah, it was just like, no, stop it. I mean, I could have far more easily hit the button and hit the silence, but no, I was like, no, I'm going to...
Fennec scream!
Yeah.
So, you know, write and draw and music. Sing.
Yeah, make shit.
Make shit. Doesn't matter how bad it is. It's from the heart.
There was a very good skeet from a webcomic creator that I followed way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember 8-Bit Theater, it was a sprite comic with Final Fantasy I sprites in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the author's still around. They're actually doing mainstream comics with they actually drawn art, but they were kids back in the day when they were doing this.
Yeah.
From Brian Clevenger. It says, each page of 8-Bit Theater was painstakingly crafted by hand on a pirated copy of Photoshop using 100% stolen art, and it was less of a fraud than any and every use of generative AI. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking true. So let that be our first and last comment on that for the day, mm-hmm. because we are at an hour 45.
Well, we'll trim some.
Oh, yeah. We'll trim it down. But this has been a good long episode, but I'm out of topics. So why don't we wrap it up for the night? So, as always, you can find us in the Telegram fan chat. We're not really on Twitter anymore. On Blue Sky, you can find me there. I'm still posting my usual boring old man horseshit. Mm-hmm. Pictures of my dog, pictures of my garden. Very exciting. Find us in the Telegram fan chat, where we discuss things like all sorts of things. This is like we discuss things like, well, anything really. And hey, look, someone went to their FA subs page and is sharing the hot stuff. Yeah. But
hey, those are good days. Yep. I mean, sometimes for hot it gets the porn train running.
Or,
and
holy shit, Casey uploaded a bunch of stuff, or Fluff Kevlar uploaded a bunch of alts.
I need to. I got a piece of art from her. I need to get it scanned in.
Oh, nice.
I've got a picture of it, but I mean.
Like, hey, look, Ink Tiger posted a bunch of Star Trek pinups.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like, their thing. So, yeah. Telegram.
They do just, like, themes for, like, 12 issues of, and then they'll pick a new topic. For
Furries Illustrated.
Okay.
Yeah. Furries.
So
I just remember that they posted recently, it was, like, an anthro-furry cheeks out, like, kneeling in a captain's chair of, like, an NX-01 series.
Did you see my reply to that? There's that picture, there's the nude version, and I replied with the image from the 2009 Star Trek film with Chris Pine, where Kirk sits down in the chair before he's like the captain and stuff, and Spock goes, out of the chair.
So, anyways, yeah, for Planet.com, buy some books. We'll be doing orders here very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
baddogbooks.com. Buy some spirit books. Yes. They don't have to ship.
Yep. And then we'll be at Anthrocon.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we're still here.
We're nowhere accepted at Anthrocon. We have applied for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a maybe, whether we're dealing there or not. And of course, MFF, it's too soon. Apps are not open yet. So we would like to go to MFF and we'll apply.
And likewise, Siesta, but that's also not open yet, but that's fine because it's in like August.
Wait, isn't it? It is, isn't it, Shiva?
It is open.
Yeah, I need to fill out my application.
Oh, well, shit, I need to do that then.
Yeah, we're doing it all month.
That's fine. We have a window.
I think, let me check. I thought I saw your mom.
Or maybe I already handled it. I don't know.
I'll check.
We'll find out. Again, like, I do a thing and I sleep and I forget it. I have.
Because you checked it off. You forgot.
Yeah, I did the thing.
Yeah.
I don't have to store this in the active, memory. Yeah.
All right. So, yes, on that note, good night. And make books.
Yeah.